Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. We just watched the Kevin Keller-centric episode, The Watcher in the Woods, and there is plenty to discuss, such as Moose and Midge are fucking alive, which is crazy.
Oh, boy.
I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mari Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Onion Inc. Director of Development Operations Cameron Sheets.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Can you believe it?
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
Maybe Midge didn't get hit, but Moose is dead. He has to be dead.
What, he got shot like five times, in the abdomen?
Yeah, I mean, right, his face looked fine. You see him in the hospital bed all episode, but that was like point blank.
Or at least
like
he's in a wheelchair or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, the ice is broken there, but Cameron,
yeah, sure, sure.
Our other questions were, would you tune in for The Bachelorette?
Well, yes, I gotta imagine it's great. I don't watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette as is, but I gotta imagine The Bachelorette within the Riverdale universe is just as campy. Like, if you think of Bachelorette as like heightened reality in our own world, so think of like the heightened reality within the heightened reality of Riverdale. It's probably the most insane show ever.
I would also like to watch with Jughead.
Yeah,
would just be like, "Fuck this."
Yeah, let's all go hang. Yeah, Jughead would have the best commentary.
And would you join your school's vigilante justice club?
I would think that there's no way they would let me in, but I'm seeing Dilton Doiley in this one.
That's
and
true.
I'm like, oh,
although
Dilton
he's
can do it.
Like a big gun out of a kid, though.
That's true. And that's definitely not me.
Would you be in that video at the end where they're like having no shirts on? You're all like, we're out here for
I
you.
I absolutely would not. I have so many thoughts about that video. We'll have to get to that later. The vigilante club, there was a time in high school where I knew someone was getting stuff stolen out of their locker and I had a free period at lunch and I was just being a jackass. I was watching a lot of That's So Raven at the time and I was really into the hijinks she got into. So I did this thing during my free period where I cut holes in a newspaper and stood at the end of the hallway and looked through the holes at the locker. I'm sorry I'm revealing all this now. Anyway, I had friends.
Did you see anything?
Did not catch anyone, but I was like, so I guess that's the long way of saying, yes, I would. I tried to basically do it myself. I would join the Vigilante Justice Club. What about you?
Probably not, no. I just wouldn't go out at night.
Oh, sure.
I would not take risks like Kevin Keller.
That's an interesting way to kind of get in the episode. The town is in high alert at this point because we've now, I mean, well, I guess Grundy got murdered in Greendale, but obviously there's like something going on. And Kevin does not know at the beginning, but he's still out running in the middle of the night. Well, he's cruising.
He's cruising. He's making out with some guy who I was like, is that Reggie? I don't think it is.
No.
I did some careful rewatching.
I don't think that whoever that
just
was doesn't
rando.
Matter. It's passer in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the watcher in the woods. I don't know. Yeah, they're making out. They hear the gunshot. Kevin, always right place, right time, it seems like. He's always
making out at the right place
at
the right
time.
Yeah,
that's true. Right. When you're just horny and ready to make out, just be alert because you could come upon friends who are in need, dead bodies. So he finds Midge. She runs out. I was like, okay, she survived. That's fine. I still thought Moose was dead, but no.
No, he's totally not.
Yeah, the night jogging thing, though. Well,
it's
first
so
of all,
cute.
It is cute. And I mean, I'm glad that, you know, I want Kevin to be able to do his thing. I think it's interesting. Basically, in Riverdale, if someone tells someone else they're out going for a run, there's more going on. Because in season one, Archie's out going on his night runs, but he's also going to visit Miss Grundy in the middle of the night.
Speaking of that, let's listen to a quote from our favorite narrator, Jughead.
Oh, sure.
Every fairy tale comes with the same warning. Good children should never go into the woods alone. Stray from the path, and who knows what you'll encounter.
Cameron, what do you think? Should good children ever go into the woods?
I thought that was kind of weird. Are fairy tales always saying that woods are scary? I thought that they were a good place to be. But obviously, there's bad stuff going on. People are getting shot. You can't really trust anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think of Kevin not using Grindum, as Betty says?
Grindum. I mean, within the first 10 minutes, we get that and Bachelorette. And I was like, no, this show is incredible.
I guess if Kevin can't drive like everybody else, he has limits.
Yeah, he doesn't trust people online. He'd rather just meet someone in person, which I guess
But that's when you date someone and just don't date them. You just like hook up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like them, you just like.
Right. Also, I mean, again, this is a weird thing with Riverdale being a town like out of time in that. Well, I don't know. There's obviously small towns where people aren't as open about things.
Yes.
But I guess that's what Riverdale's supposed to be. So he's got to take it where he can get it.
Yeah, there are limited options
if
it's a small town.
So he's just out jogging around.
In his cute sweatpants, and he's like sitting on that bench.
I know.
And I was like, oh my God.
He looks great. I love Kevin Keller.
He's so eager.
Yeah, I know. I just want him to be happy. This kind of comes back into play. Well, one, right after this grind moment, Betty and Kevin are walking down the hall, and they're kind of talking about this. And she's like, what were you doing out there? Come on. She's kind of like chastising him.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing scene. Cheryl walking right behind them. And it's pretty obvious, but it's not called out. She never says anything to them in that scene. It's just the way with the music, and you're like, oh, yeah, there she is, the redhead right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a great scene where they're walking and talking, and she's just back there, like, grinning behind them. It's so, so funny.
Yeah, Cheryl's, like, really self-actualized.
Yeah, right. I know that the house burnt down. She's, like, trying to take charge again. I don't see if she has a master plan or is, like, trying to do something. Where does this fit in?
I don't
why
know.
Is she
it's again,
in her
I think
friendship?
She's like a little crazy.
Is
like
she
she's
trying
gone
to,
a little nuts.
Why would she want to turn people on Betty? That's kind of what it seems like. She's obviously trying to like turn Kevin against her. Be like, look, she's like trying to tell you who you can't see, but she's here.
But
over
then she
here
helps Betty. She like takes her to the woods and like lets her know when Kevin's going to be out there or whatever.
She's just straight. She's just meddling. I have no idea.
What do you think about what Betty says? Like, is Betty a prude or is she just like worried about his safety?
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I mean, Betty's not a, no. Well, no, she is. She is kind of a prude, but she is worried about his safety, and I think she should be because of what we were saying at the top of this is, like, Riverdale's not a safe place right now. People are getting shot left and right. He's just got to be pretty careful, I think.
Yeah, but as we'll hear in a quote from Cheryl right now, Kevin is a smoke show.
He is a smoke show. Let's hear the clip.
Oh, Betty, how little you know of the human psyche. Kevin used to be a lonely, awkward, fat boy with acne. Now he's a smoke show.
And?
In his mind, he's still that unattractive Pugsley. Kevin wants validation, connection, even if he has to find it in the woods, even with a killer on the loose, even if you don't approve.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at some point, Kevin's like, why do you think what I'm doing is disgusting or something like that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, she never said, like, what she thinks you're doing is disgusting. She just, like, thinks it's dangerous. I mean, though she does kind of say, like, I want you to respect yourself more and maybe not just hook up in the woods. But, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird because, like, we don't really know why she's upset.
Right.
Is she upset because he's hooking up in the woods or is she upset because he's hooking up in the woods, like, that week?
Yeah, I don't know. It would make sense if it was that, but it does seem like there's something else there.
Like maybe
there's some biases showing through.
Yeah, but then he like is mad at her at the end of the episode. Such a bummer.
They end that episode where she kind of like smiles and waves at him and he just shuts his locker and walks
away. After she narcs on him with his dad.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But his dad had to know. I don't want to say her dad. His dad had to know. But maybe she felt like that was her last choice.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Speaking of choices, Moose and Midge totally alive.
Yes, of course.
Which is so improbable. And Moose is, I don't know. He's talking to Kevin.
Yeah.
Reggie and Archie are visiting him, eating his Jell-O or his pudding, I guess.
Yeah. When Kevin goes to visit him, Kevin has his big speech to Betty when they find him in the woods later on. But his scene with Moose is really moving. And I think that that's like a really special, they have this connection. And whether or not they're together, even like interested in each other, Moose, maybe he is with Midge right now. He is queer for sure. And I think that they're able to have this like moment of connection. He's like, let me know if you ever just want to talk. I think that that is like such a poignant, special moment where he like knows that Kevin's out doing this and is having trouble finding people to talk to and connect about things, obviously. And Moose kind of like extends the olive branch. He's like, we can talk. Like we've had a little bit of history. That's really special.
Yeah, I like it. He's like, I am a jock. Mm-hmm. Like I am dating this girl, but like I'm still here for you, et cetera.
Right. There,
a lot seems of, like a good dude.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the episode, a lot of the stuff as it's dealing with Kevin and his lifestyle and his all this gay stuff. This is like the big Kevin gay episode.
I know. This is like in the past, he was like a guest star or whatever. Yeah. Now he's like a recurring character. And, so this is like, here's your meat on the bones, buddy, Casey Cat.
Right. I think some of it's heavy-handed, like his big speech. But again, this scene with Moose is really nice. It's really sweet. It really warmed my heart. I hope they can just continue to be friends. I love that.
Speaking of friends, let's take a break. And we'll come back and talk about Southside High, where no one is friends.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Cameron, we are back, and we are going to talk about Southside High. I have a lot of thoughts about Southside High.
Oh, let's hear
it. But first, let's hear from Tony Topaz, who is Jughead's peer friend, peer mentor, or
yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to give you the full animatronic tour of Southside High, but some of the robots went insane and started killing the guests, so we'll just wing it.
I love the animatronic reference. It feels very, like, Simpsons.
Me too. It was great.
Yeah.
She's right off the bat. Great, like, first line from her.
I know. That high school looks like a hellhole.
It does. It's insane. There's
like,
graffiti everywhere.
It's comically ridiculous.
Jingle jangle dealings going on.
There's like a chain link fence in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about
There's
that.
There's so much graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
what?
Like that, no one's paying attention in class.
That place is messed up.
Yeah.
Those
There's no
kids.
Wi-Fi. There's metal detectors. What'd she say? There's no Wi-Fi. There's no doors in the bathroom, which is always like the
right.
sign of the worst place. Graffiti in the hallway. And she says that there's jingle jangle. People are doing it in the hallway.
Yeah.
And it's a highly addictive total gutter drug.
Right. So we're kind of learning more about it. And, you know, we talked about it getting called out by name in the first episode of this season. And it's like so clear that this is going to become an important thing for some reason to me.
Yes. And like, to me, it's also really important that, you know, Jughead like speaks out in class, talks about Fahrenheit 451. Mm-hmm. The teacher, he's like, hey, I want to be in the black and gold,
or
red and black,
basically.
Yes.
Freedom Riders.
He's like, I want to be in the red and black. And the teacher's like, I read your writing online. It's good. No gangs, no drugs. And it's like, okay, that's not going to work out at all.
Right.
Because like the no gangs thing, Jughead basically gets beat up by the Ghoulies.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm dubious as to whether it was actually the Ghoulies.
right.
Might have just been like the Serpents trying to get him in.
Yeah, for sure.
So he gets beat up and then like he's basically going to get involved in Serpents. And then like this Penny Peabody stuff, like I think it might lead to drugs.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. She's connected to all this too.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much going on there. The Serpents that we do see, they do want Sweet Pea. I like him. They do want Jughead to be on their side. And I think Tony, we've been told, you know, kind of leading up to this season that she's going to kind of get in the way of some things. But I do think that she wants to be friends with Jughead and has his best interests at heart.
I know.
Or at least what she sees to be his best interests.
I know. She like actually seems to like him.
Yeah.
She's at his house when he gets beat up. She's mm-hmm. like brings the coffee pot that Betty also
yep.
brought.
Yeah, that was a funny moment.
And she fucking interrupts them when they were like making out, which I always am like, they almost had sex. And like,
yeah.
Now they're just like, bye.
Are they ever? I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. She's great. I think a good intro to Tony. I was excited to see her and we had to wait 3 episodes to get Tony.
Yeah.
It's also, again, funny that we had to wait 3 episodes to get to Southside High. There was a scene in this episode where Jughead is at Riverdale High.
Yeah, this
and
is like his first day.
Gotta go to my real school. I don't know why I'm here.
He's I'm half an hour late. I'm like, okay, no one at high school is there half an hour before school starts. Like,
right.
No one's like, oh, yeah, I just thought I'd come in at 6 a.m. just to hang out or whatever. Like, everyone rolls in, like, right before their first
they
class.
They get up so early. This is actually reminding me of, I had a conversation on Twitter with some friends who were catching up with Riverdale. And a friend of the podcast, Becca James, was wondering, like, why are these kids all getting up and getting breakfast together before school? This is more about season one, but it is funny. They really, like, want to get up and have their time together before class, which
yeah.
I think
they're
is
just early
sweet.
Risers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why doesn't Jughead just get a GED?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why doesn't he just, like, get emancipated and get a GED? I'm sure his dad would be like, okay.
Yeah, his dad would be fine with
and
that.
And I think he'd probably pass it. I don't
right.
know, unless he's bad yeah. at math or something.
No, he's smart. I mean, that's true. He could be.
Yeah.
We don't know about that. But we do know he's an amazing writer, an amazing enough writer to convince this teacher to let him reinstate the red and black.
Southside High seems like a bad, bad place.
Yeah, it's funny. I love that. I do like that it opens up the world more. I like that we just get mention of the Ghoulies. I don't know how important they're going to be, but very funny.
Yeah. Speaking of, I don't know, things that are just kind of mentioned
uh-huh.
and that just pop into existence, the Red Circle.
Yeah. I mean, Archie goes into his garage, the garage where they're jamming
yeah.
in season one. his gun is being hid under these comics. These comics called the Red Circle, which, as I've talked about before, that is the, I think it's a different name now, but originally that is like the imprint of like the superhero comics within the Archie universe. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the show tying itself into the comics without it being like, here's these superhero characters all of a sudden. So that gives him this idea. He's like, I got to take matters into my own hand, which is, I think it's really, really funny. One, that they're meeting in school. I had this moment where I was like, okay, they're meeting in the classroom. That's fine. That the principal actually defends them. He's like, they can do that.
Kind of like swoops in and vouches for them.
Which Weatherby, Principal which, Weatherby
no,
is,
you wouldn't.
Yeah, be like, he's been such a buzzkill before.
He's a buzzkill. And like, if one of them dies, like your school gets sued for like $1 zillion. Uh-huh. Anyways.
My insane conspiracy bell is like ding dinging. I'm like, what does Weatherby want them to meet up for? In the same way that, again, getting ahead of myself, why does Hiram want them to be a...
That's very weird.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk about that. I mm-hmm. do want to talk about like, you know that creepy van that was like following Ethel?
Yes.
Barb, right? From Stranger Things.
Ethel Muggs, a.k.a.
Why,
Barb.
Why? What did she do?
I don't know.
Like, if we're talking about, like, sinners or whatever.
Of course. I think that's a good question.
I guess she was, like, at the Chuck Clayton thing. Like, that was the last time we saw her.
Yeah, we just... It could be. I mean, we knew from the first season that her dad...
Killed himself,
which is really dark. I don't know. I mean, I think everyone needs to be on the watch now. And that was interesting. She's getting tracked down the street. That's the Red Circle in full effect. Reggie and Archie zoom over there.
Yeah, and, like, a super mm-hmm. stock car. Like,
yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. Idiots. Meanwhile, Kevin goes on his other night jog and runs into someone who is this the Black Hood?
I don't think so.
They want
Kevin's crazy dream, mm-hmm. like he was going to get stabbed, and the Black Hood doesn't. I mean, I guess maybe the Black Hood does stab people.
Yeah.
Because he did like garrote Miss Grundy.
Right. All I know is I did like this episode. I don't want any more death fake outs. Like, we can have fantasy sequences, but
I was so upset.
Don't do that
I was
to
like,
me.
Kevin, no.
Yeah. I knew if he got stabbed, I was like, well, we know people just don't die when they should. So he's
That's
not
true.
Dead, I'm
he's
sure.
Fine.
But
they like missed all of his organs. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and we will talk about the lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron, we are back. We are ready to talk about the Lodge family.
Yeah.
First, let's hear a quote from Hiram Lodge.
Sure.
Evil Archie has no regards for nobility or good intention. You know, sometimes defending yourself, it's not enough. You need to strike back. Go on the offensive. This Black Hood, he's waging a war based on terror and fear. Those are his weapons. They should be yours too.
Hiram Lodge's creeps is a creepy, right?
Yeah. What the hell?
What is his deal?
I don't know. He doesn't, one, he doesn't care about the Bachelorette. He's not watching. He's like, let's go have this conversation while the show's on.
He delivers like a bunch of yellow roses, which is weird, and
right.
cupcakes to like Veronica. And he's like, you guys planning a dance?
Right. I don't know why he would want this to be a thing other than the fact that we've been told, like, they can only say so much about the season in interviews, but I mm-hmm. feel like they're always like, civil war. For some reason, Hiram, like, wants there to be a South Side versus North Side thing. And he's, like, basically encouraging Archie to build up this army, this Red Circle, mm-hmm. to...
And to, like, goad yeah. the Black Hood guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably looking for him. I would not be surprised if he continues to pull some strings and somehow, even though they're not the enemy, get the Red Circle to have to, like, go basically West Side Story, snap, sing, dance, battle against the Serpents.
Yeah.
I don't know why he wants that. But
I don't think the Black Hood is, like, even in the...
I don't think so either. I think that they're on this mission. Somehow, Hiram's going to plant more seeds and wants them to fight each other.
The other stuff that I thought was interesting mm-hmm. about Hiram in this ep was, first of all, that he offers Archie rum, and then Archie's like, okay. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
No 16-year-old would fucking take that rum mm-hmm. from someone that you're told to be, like, afraid of.
Right.
Because you'd be like, this is a trick. You know what I mean? Okay, but then they drink this rum. And the other thing is that, like, where he comes after Hermione, because mm-hmm. Hermione is kind of trying to warn Veronica against messing with her dad.
Yeah.
And then he hears it from his den or whatever his right. office is called, and he kind of comes after her, and she seems like genuinely scared, and then mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. dinner she seems genuinely drunk when she's like, oh, pobrecita.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She gets a little sloshed.
Yeah, it's like a total like rich drunk person thing to do.
I love that.
Pozole sounds delicious. Yeah. By the way, I'm like, ooh, pozole.
Sure.
I don't know, so like it's very weird, like, what is their relationship? I'm still like wondering about Hiram and Hermione's, like, is she held hostage by him? Is she like
she, again, we've seen her do some bad stuff, but maybe it's just because she is so afraid of him for whatever reason. God, he has that. His very last scene is him turning around in his chair in his office, which has this oil painting of Veronica, which is so funny.
It looks
funny
like it was done
me.
Like a month ago. Yeah.
But he's just so evil there. He's like basically like, I don't know. That's his big like.
Yeah, he might as well have like a white cat. That
yeah,
he's like,
exactly. Right. Yeah. He should be. He watches that video and he's like cackling to himself, which again, we've kind of already touched on the red circle and that video. But like in ostensibly the show's like big Kevin Keller gay episode. That's the gayest part of the whole episode. All these shirtless guys. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Like, it's like, why do they have shirts on? Like, you could still tell that they have muscles or whatever with like a ski mask.
Why isn't Archie wearing a mask? Why have the mask and then not have Archie wear one? That seems so weird. If they're trying to like protect themselves, he should have had a mask on. I mean, we would have, as a viewer, still known that it was Archie because we know his voice. I don't know why they had to have it off for that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the other kids are worried that like their dad's gonna get shot.
Yeah.
If they like are identified, but like.
Yeah, that's true.
Again,
that's true.
It's a small town. Like,
of course.
People are gonna know what's like what your fucking problem is or like where you live or like who your parents are or whatever. Like, this is not a secret.
The other part of this is like that video's on YouTube. I wonder, well, I'm sure they don't call it YouTube in the show. It's probably like.
It's always called like Friend Zone or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know if you get to see how many views it has. I would love to know. And I would love to know like, where is this video being shared? Like, is there like a Red Circle Twitter account? Is Archie just posting this on his Facebook wall and his like 300
friends?
Is it
in
the
Riverdale Register or whatever, maybe?
Oh, yeah. It probably makes headlines.
Maybe they're sharing it. It's going viral around the high school.
Well, we should also briefly talk about the fact that all of this stuff that's happening is now very much on the Riverdale Register's radar, aka Alice Cooper's radar, because she gets a package sent to her.
Yeah.
This is the killer very clearly playing the Zodiac game.
That's
now.
Fred's wallet and like Miss Grundy's gross like Lolita sunglasses.
Yeah. Ugh. Didn't need to see those again. But he knows a lot about these people if he's able to. Well, I guess that's, he probably knows how to contact the head of the Riverdale Register. But
her home address.
It does seem like he knows a lot of, right? I don't know. Maybe not. They probably do have to keep that private. But he does know a lot about these people. And I don't know. This really brings up the whole personal angle again. God damn it, chick. What are you doing? No, I have no idea.
I gotta feel like the Black Hood is paid for by Hiram Lodge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe once Veronica starts working at Lodge Industries, which she's going to do, I guess, in some respect, maybe we'll get to see if they actually have like an office. Maybe we'll find out more about this. I don't know.
We could. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Hiram's keeping it pretty close to the vest, though.
Yeah, certainly.
Want to listen to another quote from the show?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, and we should let everyone hear Kevin's big speech again, because I think it is an important thing.
I agree.
Kev, please.
You act like we've got the same set of options, but we don't. You live in this pale pink world of milkshakes and first kisses and am I gonna date Archie or Jughead?
Except for when she's Dark Betty.
Right. Except for when you're exploring your BDSM sexuality, which again, you're allowed to do, but I'm not, because why? This is what I've got, Betty. Me, these woods. So please don't come here and tell me it's disgusting. If you can't accept what I do, whatever I do, then we're not really friends.
Yeah, so that was Kevin's big speech. It's a good one.
It is good. Again, not my favorite Kevin scene. I love the Kevin and Moose scene. I ship Kevin and Moose, I guess. But
I liked Joaquin, even though he was bad.
Right.
I don't know. I thought he was cute.
Mm-hmm.
The pale pink world of milkshakes and first kisses.
Yeah. Man, he really goes in on Betty. Maybe that is a significant moment. And their friendship kind of dissolving to some degree is important because this is like allowing Betty to go further and further down this like Dark Betty wormhole.
Yeah.
For sure.
I guess, I mean, we have a little more speculation kind of stuff to do here. And we talked about we don't know what Cheryl gets out of meddling. I guess really what we want to say here, I think the big issue that I'm like curious about still is like, so the Black Hood's basically saying like, I'm terrorizing your town because I'm getting sinners, right?
Sure.
Is that true? I don't know. And like, I just don't think we really know yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
And why
don't
didn't
know
he strike
enough.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess we were still dealing with Moose and Midge, and maybe he tried to get Ethel. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think that this is a very, very important detail to call out, whether intentional. It had to have been intentional. Ethel is nervous because there's like a white van behind her. And I think that the show wants you to think that the Black Hood is the guy in the car that Kevin sees. That's a completely different vehicle.
It's like a Trans Am or something.
Yeah. I don't know if that guy ever comes back, but those are two different things at play. I think as I'm watching it, I'm thinking like it didn't really cross my mind initially. I was like, oh, okay, that was the Black Hood tracking Ethel down. He got away and then ends up parking. But those are completely different people.
Yeah, and that's not a rental car. Like,
right.
Neither one of those is like, I'm going to rent this.
No, definitely not. So whether or not he's there's more than just one creepy person in town, obviously.
Yeah, the guy that's cruising is like gross.
Yeah.
Like, I think. Like, there's some cute, like, there's the couple that Kevin follows that are really cute. And like,
yep,
the guy who's making out at the beginning was cute. The guy in the car was like a gross dude, I thought.
Oh,
like,
he was.
Just like, ugh.
I kind of thought it was Hal Cooper at first, which would have been so funny to me.
Hal Cooper is just like window dressing.
Yeah.
I was like going through following Riverdale like actors on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, not Hal Cooper.
He is
can't
on Twitter.
Do this. Okay, noted.
I found him.
Let's take another break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk about our favorite fan social moments this week. Cameron, we are back and we are going to talk about our favorite like kind of social moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Mine, again, these are kind of old, but my favorite thing right now is there's these videos on YouTube that are from Netflix UK and Ireland. It's mm-hmm. like when Riverdale was going on Netflix there.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically asked the cast to both pretend that they were memes, like they would show them memes like the Arthur fist whatever.
Yep.
And then they would like make them do them. And
okay.
it's pretty cute to watch KJ Apa like do the Arthur
fist.
Oh,
sure.
Like
sure.
He really gets it. Like he embodies that.
Oh, yeah, he does for sure.
And then there's this other video. It's called the Bromance-O-Meter, if you want to Google it.
Oh,
Riverdale Bromance-O-Meter. And it's like the newlywed game
mm-hmm.
where you're like, which one, you know, Cole, what's KJ's most used emoji or whatever? And then he tries to guess it and KJ writes it down too. But it's very cute.
How have I not seen that yet?
I'll send it to you.
Link me immediately.
It's really cute.
You know, that's my favorite budding relationship show adjacent is KJ and Cole.
Yeah. Cole also has this like fringe, like suede jacket on,
oh,
which I really
God.
Enjoy.
So cool.
I know. It's like the outfit like I want to wear, but I'll never wear. And my other favorite thing that I want to mention about this, which I've seen multiple times, but this is like the first time mm-hmm. that I'd ever mm-hmm. seen this like a long time ago when I watched this video. Was that like when they'll ask Cole like who his celebrity crushes, he'll always say his brother, which I really enjoy because it's like an expert dodge.
Oh man,
do you
that
know
is
what I mean?
Good,
like
for
he
sure.
doesn't say like a real person.
How many times has he said that you've noticed? More than once,
more than
right?
Once.
That's amazing.
Because also like we were talking about the Fallon stuff a couple weeks ago
mm-hmm.
and you know they asked KJ like most embarrassing thing you've ever done on a date. Oh, this was in like the Vogue,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Teen Vogue thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, he also kind of dodges stuff.
Whoa.
Where they're like, do you ever go on dates? He's like, it's pretty dodgy.
I love that.
Yeah.
You got to respect that then.
Keep it to yourselves.
Mean, we've already talked about in previous episodes like Lily Reinhart and Cole's maybe real relationship. And it's funny because they don't ever talk about it. But then they have things where it's like, okay, they're very clearly in a hot air balloon together. Like, I love that. We don't have to. We'll talk about it. But it's for them to.
They could
tell
just be friends.
It. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I look for clues on everything. I look
yeah,
for
of
clues.
Course.
I'm like, well, also like now that this is our podcast, I'm just like
yeah,
hyper.
Right. Now
like,
we're really
what's
aware.
What's this? But I want to know everything mm-hmm. about everything. I'm looking for clues in the show. I'm looking for clues in
for sure.
characters' makeup. A Christmas episode. What could be happening in the Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So
and,
I'm like a weirdo.
And I've been really trying to tie myself into because I've not ever been a reader of like Archie comics and I'm not all that familiar. So I'm always trying to like look these things up and figure out where these connections are. I thought the Ghoulies was an interesting name. I looked it up. The Ghoulies are, from best I can tell, the Ghoulies were these monsters. They were like monsters in a band, and it was a spinoff of
yes.
Sabrina, which of course was a spinoff of Archie. So there was a show for like a year in the 70s where it was just all these like monsters that lived together and had a band. And there was like a werewolf, and he was kind of like a hippie. And I thought that was so funny. There's no way the show makes any more connection than just the Ghoulies being the name of this gang. But
now
I thought
that
it
you
was
say
so
that,
funny.
I totally remember this because I think I've mentioned like my aunt and my mom had like a giant box of like Archie comics.
Okay.
Richie Rich and whatever
oh, yeah,
comics
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
when I was growing up, and they were mm-hmm. in my grandma's garage. And so I'd like go read them, like when I stayed at my grandma's for a week or whatever. Like I'd read these comics or I'd take some with me and bring them back and whatever. So I definitely remember the Ghoulies.
The other thing that reminded me of is I didn't have cable for most of the time growing up, but when
Ooh.
We did, I was like so excited to finally have all these channels. And we had Boomerang then. I was like, Boomerang, that's funny. I watched a lot of old cartoons, and every once in a while they would show Josie and the Pussycats in space, which Josie and the Pussycats was, it's already a weird enough thing because it was like, okay, they're already a band, but for whatever reason, they're solving Scooby-Doo style mysteries because mm-hmm. that was in at the time. And they're like, we got to step it up a notch. Let's throw them into space. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. But if we do one day see the Riverdale Josie and the Pussycats like trying to get into NASA, I'll be like,
they're
there's
not going
not
to space.
No, they're definitely not.
Have you seen Josie and the Pussycats, the movie?
I have, but it was a long time ago, and I know it's like such a cult favorite now. I think at the time I was like, this is a girl movie, which now I like totally wouldn't care. I'm like, I want to see that. I know I'm going to love it.
I just bought the LP.
Oh, man. Is it on DVD? Can I buy it? We're plugging the
maybe.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Let's figure it out. We'll figure it out. That was like Terry at her cutest, and now she's having met her in person. It's off-putting.
Oh.
So sad. Really leave this on a high note.
Yes, we are right.
Anyways, guys, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yeah.
This was episode 3. Well, I guess, I don't know, whatever it's called.
Yeah, this is our 4th episode. This is the 3rd episode of the show, chapter 16, The Watcher in the Woods.
There you go. You got it. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc., and our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineers are Ryan Staples and Stephen Holliger. Our producer is Leah Steltenpole, and our executive director of audio is Mandana Mofidi. The show is hosted by myself, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. And if you like the show, tell your friends. And tell us, because use hashtag DialMforMaple on Twitter. And at Mara E and at Cameron Sheets.
Let's chat.
You won't even have to try that hard to find us if you want to subscribe, because you totally should. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and everywhere else you get your podcasts. Thanks, and we will see you guys next week for the next episode of Riverdale. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what's going to happen,
yeah.
But I know that it's my favorite show right now.
It's the best. Bye-bye, Bulldogs.